If you would, let's open up our Bibles this morning to Psalms 108. Psalms chapter 108. Have a word of prayer before we read. Our Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another day that you've given to us, O Lord. Another day of life, dear Heavenly Father, that you allow us to live into this world, dear Lord. Another day to try to lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. Yes. Dear Lord, we live for you day by day, and we don't really fully comprehend all that thought. Dear Lord, as we mentioned, as you said, if you love me, obey me. Keep my commandments, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, every day that we live for you, we can lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. Where it says, moth and rust doesn't corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal. Where interest rates and things can't fluctuate and take it away, dear Lord. But dear Heavenly Father, we can lay ourselves up for treasures, dear Lord, in heaven. And Lord, where our treasure is, you said that's where our heart will be also. So dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us, dear Lord, to put our very best into the service. The Lord has been mentioned, dear Lord. We're only going to be here right now, dear Heavenly Father. The Word of God goes forth, dear Heavenly Father, and we believe that the Spirit of God accompanies it, dear Lord, and the Heavenly Father can bring it to each and every one of our minds and hearts. So we ask you to be with each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as the Word can be a blessing, can be a challenge, can be an encouragement, can be correction, can be many things, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we have to diligently seek out what you have for each one of us. So Lord, we ask you to bless and anoint the word in a special way. Anoint me that I'll bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Psalms 108, we're just going to read one verse of scripture, and that is verse 1. David says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. I want to look at the thought for this morning that David says here, the very first phrase there, my heart is fixed. I want to think about that. Things that are fixed. And is your heart fixed? Is your heart fixed on the things of God? Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Is your heart fixed on God? I want you to think about that very word for a moment. And think about what that word fix means. You know, in our songbook, we have a page 300, O Happy Day. And in verse 1 says, O happy day, that fixed my heart. What does that mean? You know, that's a really, and the thought just sort of encouraged me right now as I mentioned it. And as a songwriter sing, oh, happy day. What's the happy day? That happy day is that day that I bowed before God and repented of sin and asked him to be my Lord and Savior. That's that happy day. There is no other happy day in this world. There is zero other happy day. Oh, there are things that can make you enjoy the day. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but just for a season. But that's not the ultimate happy day. The happy day is that when we get saved from sin, When we consecrate ourselves to God, Lord, I'm giving you my life. I'm allowing you to take control. Lord, if you'll forgive me of sin, and by the grace of God, I'll live for you. I'll obey you all the days of my life. That's that happy day. And when that happy day says, oh, happy day, that fixed. That particular day when I bowed before God, it fixed something in my life. It fixed a charted course in my life. It set a charted course fixed towards the things of heaven, towards the things of God. The things of this world have no bearing on me anymore. And that song that we sing from time to time, it's strange how the things of this world grow strangely dim. And I think about that as I get older, how true that very much is. When I was younger, of course, you're young and you're strong and you're doing things, you're involved in just things in the world. I'm not talking about sinful things. Just talking about things of the world. But as you get a little older and you get closer to the things of heaven, laying up for yourselves treasures of the mansion, you get closer to things of heaven, you get a more vision, a more deeper insight of the things of heaven. The things of this world
It says they grow strangely dim. Something that I may have enjoyed, and there again, I'm not saying it's sin. Something that I may have enjoyed and been involved in, that doesn't have a power over me or have an enjoyment like at one time it does. But I thank God that day that I bowed before Christ one day, and that fixed my charted course in life, that grows stronger in my life. And he says, oh, happy day that fixed my choice. On thee, my Savior and my God, well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. Verse 3 says, now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful set at rest, nor ever from my Lord depart with him of every good possessed. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen.
He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Fixed. What's fixed in your life? What is the main thing? What is the main priority of your life? I want to pause on that a little because I need you to think about it. I need to think about it. Really consider that particular thought. What is the main priority of your life? What's fixed? He says, now rest, my long divided heart. Fix on this blissful set at rest. We talk about how God changes not. God's fixed. The Bible says, I am God, I change not. My word changes not. You know, in the world, there's a lot of things that we live in life that are not fixed. We live every single day in an ever-changing world. Nothing is fixed, it seems to be. Somebody said something this morning. I think John said something this morning. Temperature's up here, down here, up here. All, maybe that's why. We can't get well. To go to the store, I don't know how long it was. Eggs might have been $1.50 to $5. Go to the gas station today, might be $3.25. Go next week, might be $3.50. Nothing is settled. Nothing is fixed. It's a constant change every day. And we live in that life. And I say that many times in preaching from time to time. And that can affect us because I believe the enemy of the soul does his very best to work with our minds that we flow in a section, in a time of life, to where everything is changing. This is different. That's different. This is different. Styles change. All kinds of things. Our positions in lives change. Our jobs. Our families change. And whatever. A lot of things. They're just ever changing. And the devil tries to get us to think, well, since we live in a world that is ever changing, why would something else be so fixed? The things of God. Our salvation. If it's so changing here and there, and every day we are constantly aware of that. We are constantly aware. No doubt, our whole lives we've gone to the gas station. What was the price of gas? You know, well, last week I paid this. What is it this week? You expect it to be different. It's not going to stay the same in everything in life. So the devil works with us, and the devil tried to hinder our faith to a point to get us to believe, well, how can a God be so fixed when everything that we live in is different? It's fixed. God says, I change not. I don't make exceptions for sin. I don't make exceptions. Well, because of your condition, because of your life, because of how you're living the surroundings of your life, I'll make exceptions for that. I believe that when the Bible teaches us as saints of God that the saints shall judge the world. I believe, and the Bible also tells us that in everything, there is nothing new under the sun, and every temptation is common to man. Everything is common to man. What I go through is common to a million people in the world. What you go through is common to a million people in the world. But the devil tells you and I, you're the only one going through this battle. That's what he tells us. But God says the saints shall judge the world. So when somebody else may stand before God one day at the judgment bar and say, Lord, you see my situation, God's going to say, well, I had this one, and I had that one, and I had this brother, and that brother, and this sister. They went through the exact same thing that you're going through, and they stayed faithful. They stayed obedient. So if one can, two can, three can, I can, and you can. God does not make exceptions. God started out, and he said, he created the heavens and the earth. He created things from the very beginning of Genesis. Things were fixed from that very point, and he hadn't changed. You'll never find an amendment in this book. I need to make an amendment. Well, it's 2023 now. Things are different. No, God set things fixed. The world has changed dramatically. Their styles, the way people dress, the way people live, all kinds of things. We live in a world that's not fixed, but God is fixed. The songwriter in this song says that it can be fixed. And I like the first verse there as I sang, oh happy day that fixed my choice. Is heaven fixed for you? Is living for God fixed for you? Is living for the Lord set in your life to where I'm stayed fixed on the things of Christ? Or is there something that can divert us easily? I've often mentioned sometimes living for the Lord, there's two highways in one sense. Those that are living for the Lord are on one highway. Those that aren't living for the Lord on one highway. And those that aren't living for the Lord on one highway, you and I have been down the road many times, especially if we have a wife. We just pass a sign and it says, rest area, next exit, and we pass the rest area. We'll stop at the next one. Next sign, you see rest area is 25 miles. Well, you know, living in this world, that's the way it is. You don't have opportunities to get off this exit anytime you want. You're living the life of sin. You're living the life of the world. You just can't get off whenever you want. There's opportunities that God gives people to get off that exit. But when we live for God, the devil makes it very easy for us to exit anytime. You can get off here, you can get off there, you can get off there, you can get off anytime you want. We have to have it fixed and settle on to stay in it, to stay faithful. Is it fixed in your life? Or is there something in your life that you can be diverted quickly from the things of God? David says, my heart is fixed. Another psalm that I want to make reference to is the same wording a little bit. My heart is fixed on Jesus. And the very first verse says, my heart is fixed on Jesus, the Son of all my thoughts. What wondrous works of grace his love within my soul hath wrought. The second verse, all three verses start with the same thing. My heart is fixed on Jesus. Without him, life is vain. His promises through all my days to comfort and sustain. My heart is fixed on Jesus, since I to him belong. For every day he gives me hope, for every night a song. And the chorus goes on to say, my heart is fixed on Jesus. No other. This is from page 213. My heart is fixed on Jesus. No other hope have I. You don't have any other hope. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope at all. We have no hope in this life. You have no hope in the life after. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. My heart is fixed on Jesus. No other hope have I. As we said, oh happy day. When I got saved and I asked Christ to save my soul, that fixed me. When I got up from an altar of prayer, your mindset was changed. The Bible says, I'll give you the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ. I'll give you a different mind. I'll give you a different heart. My heart is fixed. And he says, my heart is fixed on Jesus. No other hope have I. I could not live without Him.
And without Him, I dare not die. Is your heart fixed this morning? Let's go back to Joshua chapter 23. Now Joshua, after Moses passed away, Joshua many a times had to inspire the people and had to get them on the right track or get them to understand they need to be on the right track. Many different times. And in Joshua chapter 23 here, reading a little bit of this here, verse 1, and it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel, from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old, stricken in age. And Joshua called all of Israel, and their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations and remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the gate, great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their lands. And the Lord your God hath promised unto you, be ye therefore very courageous, and keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the hand or to the right hand or to the left. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor vow yourselves unto them. So he's going down through here. They had all taken over the land of Canaan and ran out all these other nations that God did for him. And Joshua's getting old. He says, I want you to remember what God's done for you. Remember the inheritance that you have here. He says, don't be bringing them back. Don't be building things back up that we have cast out. So in verse 8 there, he says in verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Joshua said, stay fixed. And what has been through this time, what has got us to this victory here by winning over all the land of Canaan, running out our enemies, destroying the enemies by the help of God, obeying the word of God, obeying the laws that God gave to Moses, as you have been doing from the very beginning of this time to this day, stay doing it. He says, cleave to it, and the Lord your God have done unto you this day. If you're saved this morning, you've been saved for a period of time, stay at it. Don't allow things to change. Don't allow things to get relaxed. Say, well, I've been saved for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I can relax now. There is never a time that saints of God can come to a place to relax. Because the enemy tries to do that to us. We've been saved for a long time. And as we've been saved for a while, this is our life. There's no other. We're not wanting to go out there. But he gets us to try to relax. Try to back off on some things. Try to not keep up diligently like we have been. We have not finished our course yet. Until we hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and cross the finish line that Christ has for us, we haven't finished. And we have to continue to do that, as Joshua said here. Joshua's getting ready to go on. He says, I'm old, I'm stricken in years, I'm ready to go on. He goes, but stay fixed in God. You let me use that word, cleave. Stay, but cleave unto the Lord your God. Stay fixed. Don't waver to the right or to the left. And we know what happened with Israel in time. They started to bring other gods in. They started to intermarriage with other nations. They started to mix with them. They started to build some things up that they destroyed. Now, that didn't happen overnight. That took a period of time for some of that to happen.
And that's what the enemy does. Slowly. A little by little. If you can let up here.
Look at the conditions of our country where it is today.
The conditions of our country didn't come like this overnight. This has been maybe a decade. Generations.
Letting up here. Letting up there. Letting loose there. Cutting back here.
Leaving prayer out of school. Not spending things time in church with your family and the things of God, not keeping them in a sense, even though some families weren't saved, weren't consecrated to the Lord, at least they held good moral standards towards the church. They had respect toward the church. A lot of times, and in the earlier years too, the people knew the Word of God. They were taught the Word of God in school, some of them. Maybe taught it in Sunday school. A lot of them went to Sunday school once they got in Sunday school and left. But they were taught some of the things of God. We have a nation today of young people, and I'm going to say from at least 25 down, that have no idea what this Bible says. I think I can be safe with that. From ages 25, and I could probably even go further than that, but I'm pretty safe to say at age 25 down, the majority of young people have no idea even who Jesus Christ really is. If you ask them, they don't know. Why? Because they let down. They let down. Joshua says, keep things fixed. As I'm getting ready to pass off, Joshua says, he's trying to help them to get their eyes set on the things of God. He says, there's nations among you. Don't name their gods. Don't even allow them to name their gods. You know, when I was in school, we had Easter break and Christmas break. You're not allowed to say that no more. I think it's called winter break and spring break. Not even allowed to have the things of Christmas. Not even allowed to have the things of the crucifixion or any of that. But let's allow other nations and other gods to, we can recognize them and give them their time and place to have a week off in school. Let's bring in other gods. Let's bring in other nations. Let's accept other nations, just as Joshua warned them not to do that. Let's bring these in. And the verse says, God says, a nation that forgets God, I'll turn them into hell. But Joshua says, don't even name their gods. Don't even serve them. Don't even bow to them. But cleave unto the Lord. As you have done, continue. What's got you saved? What's got you this far living for the Lord? It'll help you to finish. It'll help you finish your goal. Finish your track. Staying faithful. Is your heart fixed this morning? There again, I pause at that word a little bit. What would hinder you? What would hinder you from serving God? Is there things come up in your life that can quickly influence you to do other things than those that you're supposed to be doing, the things of God? Remember Brother Jones brought that little thought one time. These people show up at your door and you're headed to church. Unexpectedly, relatives show up at the door. You're headed to church. They expect you to stay home and miss church. But if you showed up at their door going to a Super Bowl party, they would not expect them to stay home. Let me tell you what, the world will do what the world wants to do, but they expect you to change your things of God.
Absolutely, that's true.
What's fixed in your life? What's fixed in your life, in my life? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
You know, we probably should read that a little bit or look at the thoughts from backwards to front. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there's not a lot of times in living for God, there's nobody blowing trumpets, nobody handing you a medal, there's nobody handing you a trophy for living for God, for being obedient to God. There's almost nothing in a sense, understand my thought where I'm going with it, there's almost nothing in a sense that you just being faithful to God today, tomorrow, being in service, your prayer, your Bible study, just all the things that we've talked about over the last several weeks maybe, just being faithful to God. There's nobody coming patting you on the back, nothing saying you did a good job, but there will be a payday one day. And that will be all that acknowledgement when God says, well done, thou blessed and blessed servant, enter into the heaven, kings of heaven.
It'll be worth it all.
So he starts in 58, we back up. For as much as you know that your labor, do you know that all the things you're doing for the Lord, our payday is going to be then. Mm-hmm. And there's not a one of us in here that we know that we can. That's why it says, be not weary and well-doing. Because we do get weary. Because look at what I did, Lord. Nobody recognized it. We might have done something good for someone. We might have a little bit extraordinary. We might have done something good. And maybe not one person recognized it. God did.
That's right.
The Bible says, every idle word will be brought to our account. So if every idle word will be brought to our account, something that you said in favor 40 years ago, I guess there's nobody here younger than 40, God remembers. I don't remember. You don't remember. God says, I remember every good blessing you did 40 years ago, 30 years ago. I remember everything you did. Every single thing is written down. Our reward will be great, but it won't be until that time. So he says there, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. So he goes on to the first part. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because you know this, that your labor is not in vain living for God, brethren, be steadfast. The word steadfast means firm. Unwavering. He said, be steadfast, be unmovable. Are you easily moved? Are you easily persuaded? Are you easily diverted from your fixed course in living for God? You know, there was a story back in the Old Testament, I think back in Kings, of the a man of God and the old prophet. You remember the story? And God gave the man of God a direction. He was to go to Bethel and talk to the king there, Jeroboam, I believe, and to talk to him and to deal with him. And there was some dealings there. And he says, I want you to go there. Don't turn and eat any bread from anybody. I want you to go there. Do what I command you to do. And I want you to depart a different way, not even come back the same way. And don't eat or don't drink in anybody's house. Don't let anybody redirect your pathway. Now think about what he told. You can go back over in Kings and read that. God gave him a fixed direction, clear-cut direction. The man of God went there, dealt with Jeroboam. The altar was split and all that was done and everything there. And the king said to him, he was thankful, and he thanked him. He said, I want you to come back to my house because I'm going to give you a reward. And he said, no, I can't. God told me not to turn aside and take anything from anybody, eat anything from anybody, and I'm going to leave and go back a different path. He knew what he was to do. You know, Eve in the garden, she told the serpent, she said, we're not to eat of the tree. She knew what to do.
Amen.
The law was fixed. There's a lot of things that are very clear in the Word of God.
Amen.
Very clear. I know there can be some things that we're not sure about or little gray areas. But there is a majority of things that is very clear in the Word of God. But the man of God, there was an old prophet that came to him. And he said, you come back with me and eat at my house. And he said, no, I can't do that.
But the old prophet said, an angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me to tell you to come back. And he went back with him. He got off the fixed charted course that God laid out for him, and it cost him his life.
Lord, help us. Always abounding. Unmovable. Always, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Joshua had to tell the people to keep doing as they've been doing. I mentioned many a times, I tell you, as a ministry, as a pastor and things, you know what's a blessing to me? Faithfulness. Just being faithful. I can't sing or play or do what I used to do. I can't do the things that you can be faithful by as best as the Lord helps your physical bit. Just being faithful. Just being faithful. I can't tell you how many times over the years that especially after Brother Davis left and years went on, I'd hear from different ones that we haven't seen for years. And I've told you about some of these. And some of them would ask me about different saints in the congregation. How's this one doing? Saved and sanctified. How's that one doing? They're faithful. They're steady. They're there. And you and I, saints, when we may see somebody, maybe we don't, or meet somebody we don't see often, or even first meet somebody, and then we got meeting Brother John, who's going to be our spring evangelist. And in Escondido, we've been there and met some of the saints there, and things that, and when we get together from time to time, it might be a couple years that we don't get together, but we see their faces again. They're faithful. They're still at their post of duty. And by the grace of God, I've said that to me. Lord, help me. When I leave a place and you hear Brother Doug, I want you to hear that Brother Doug's still being faithful. He's still on the charted course. He's still on the fixed course that God set him on. It's a sad thing when from time to time we hear, how's that brother? How's that sister? They backslid. They went away. And there is a thing of backsliding. You can backslide. You can lose this salvation. Sin will separate you from God. I thank God for His mercy. He gives us the time to repent and come back. But there is a time people can sin from God and leave the church and get away and go back out there into the world. And the Bible says when we do that, that is a greater darkness than it was even when we before we got saved. When we get into, before we were saved, we were in darkness. And once God saved us, He put us in light. But when we backslide and go back out there in the world, the Bible says it's a great darkness. If you're saved, keep doing the things you've been doing. Keep believing. The devil ever tempt you or try to get you to not believe? You don't have to answer this, but I've told you before, the devil's tempted me a couple times. Are you really sure that there's a heaven? Most of the time he's ever tempted me to that, it's just sort of a, The devil doesn't care. He just throws something out there. Every once in a while, though, he starts to work. You have never seen heaven. You have never seen the glories of heaven. You know, we've got telescopes to go out. I don't know how far they go out. Where is heaven? He tries to tempt you to stop believing. Paul had a young man, Demas, that was with him. Paul had to write a letter. He says, Demas has forsaken me for this present world. He lost out. Something got his attention somewhere else, and he forsook Paul and the ministry and the fixed course that God had him on. Know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come, I see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Got a little ahead of myself on the thoughts there. But Paul says to him, he, you know, as a minister, as an evangelist that traveled around, and he helped to set up and establish some congregations and some works, and he didn't stay there. And once he got some people faithful and he put some people in place as a minister and help, and he left. But he always wrote letters back to different places and things. And this particular letter here, he says, only let your conversation be as becoming the gospel, that whether I see you, so Paul says, whether I come back and visit the congregation to help set up, or I'm absent, or I just hear of things, that I may hear of your affairs, that they may stand fast in one spirit. How's the Church of God in Hagerstown doing? They're faithful. They're staying faithful. How's the Church in Escondido? Brother John's faithful and his congregation's faithful. How's the Church in Charlotte down there, Brother Jones? God's faithful. They're faithful down there. How's this one? How's that one? How's the different saints all across the land? They're faithful. They're faithful by the help of the Lord. Paul says, whether I come or whether I'm absent, I hear of your affairs that you're faithful. You're staying faithful. You're just staying in the work. Like I said, saints, it doesn't matter whether you're... A lot of people in our years past, they look at you as being more saved that you're able to get up and jump up and down and run around the church and scream and shout. Oh, that brother's really saved. Somebody said they're the ones that are noticed first when they backslide, because they're not jumping up and down, they're not running around. Well, let me tell you what faithfulness. Paul says, whether I'm with you or whether I hear of your affair there, I want to hear that you're faithful. I want to hear that you're doing well. I want to hear that you're just pressing on in the work. He says, stand fast in one spirit. Are you fixed in one spirit? I know a couple weeks ago I mentioned in one sense there's actually only two spirits in general. I know it says that there's many spirits it can be, but there's only two spirits. There's either the spirit of right or the spirit of wrong, spirit of holiness or the spirit of wickedness. But there are other spirits that are compromising spirits. They're still the wrong spirit. There are other spirits, even Jesus says, they're angels of light, but they're not the true angels of light. They're compromising. They're wicked spirits. The Bible tells us to try the spirits, to know one another. I can meet you and never have known you before in my life, and the Bible tells me not to just accept you. I know we sing the song, and it's a song in our songbook. We reach our hand in fellowship, every blood washed one. You say you're saved. You say you accept Jesus Christ. I can accept you with that. And I may say that to you too. We're both the same way. But God desires us. He says we can try the spirits. And in periods of time, as we work with one another, we can have the same spirit and know that there's a good spirit. And he says, stand fast in one spirit. If you're fixed on Christ and I'm fixed on Christ, we're going to have the same spirit. There's no possible way it can be any other way. It can't. If you have the Spirit of Christ abiding in you and I have the Spirit of Christ abiding in me, we are going to get along. We're going to have fellowship one with another. But if there's friction somewhere, somebody has a bad spirit. Either you, me. He says, stand in one spirit. Stand in one mind. In that verse. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Are you fixed on those things? One spirit, one mind, striving for one gospel? You know, we need each other's prayers. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. We need to pray for one another. You know, I often think about it from time to time. We mention, we I guess a lot of us do the same. As we pray, our minds visualize this. And you can start on this side, you can start on that side. Remember, since Jerry, since the Linda's brother, Brother Herschel, Sister Ann. You know, we just go through each one. It's sort of an easier way. And from time to time, I know I get to some in the congregation that's not having any problems. They're not sick. They're not well. Unhealthy. There's no issues going on. But I pray for them. Lord, help them. Help them to be encouraged. Help them to be blessed. Help them, just encourage them. You know, that kind of thing. We need to pray for one another. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. To help one another. To encourage one another. Because we have an enemy doing everything he can to get us off the fixed charted course. You know, we need our prayers because sometimes we may not feel fixed. The enemy battles us. And sometimes we just don't feel like pressing on. It's true. Sometimes we just feel we get weary, we just get weak, we get our faith is challenged, and sometimes we have to buckle ourselves down. We have to maybe spend some extra time in prayer. We have to recognize that that's the enemy of the soul. And if it gets too dramatic, we need to spend some real serious time in prayer. Maybe make a trip to the altar. Not necessarily do we need to repent. Lord, I need help. This is a battle that the enemy is coming at me strong for whatever different reasons. You know, Sister Ann and Brother Herschel went through a situation 7 years ago when their granddaughter died. That was a traumatic thing, a terrible thing. And the emotions of all kind of things that went on. She talked about it a couple of weeks, all the emotions. And we felt the burden. What is the one song that we sing? When one of the saints have a burden, we all share the same. We all feel that same burden. When one saints rejoice, we all rejoice with them. We need to pray for one another. Because sometimes the enemy tries to get us off the charted course and question God. God, why is this? Why is that going on? The church is a place that we can get help, that we can keep our hearts fixed. Being in the services helps us to get our hearts in the right direction, our minds in the right direction. Get us fixed in the things of God. As we said earlier, there is no other hope we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, happy day. Like I say, that wasn't even on my notes until I just read it there a little bit ago. That just, Lord, encouraged me with that thought. Oh, happy day. You know what started my life fix is when I repented from sin. Lord, I want to live for you. I want you to save me. And God gave me a mindset. Not the things of this world, but the things of Christ. And fixed my charted course in life. I was 17 when God did that to me. And then today, it's still just strong. You know, out there in the waters, there's all kind of buoys. There's all kind of markers out there. And you can buy a chart. We experienced this one time. You can buy a chart, but if you have a chart that's a couple years old, it's not very valuable to you. Because they change them buoys from time to time. And years ago, before GPSs and things like that, I had a gentleman that was in the Navy, and he taught me how to read a chart, a water chart. And we wanted to plot out some areas to go, and it was an hour and a half away. And we wanted to take that trip, and the only way I could know how to get there is plotting a chart. And he helped me to plot a chart. So as we started down the bay, and I passed one particular point that I knew exactly where it was, and I took a heading off of that, of whatever degrees on my compass, and I stayed on that compass. And I went for a while, and you can almost see them from one point to another, but you run 5 or 10 minutes, you'll see the next buoy there. But we were running for a while, and I didn't see any. I'm thinking, I'm staying on course. Why didn't I see that buoy? So out there in the middle of the bay, I seen it as a bigger buoy there. And we went a little bit longer, here come another one, I don't see it yet. So we went out there and we found that number on that buoy, and I looked at my chart and it showed me the number where that was, and where I needed to be was pretty much directly in. So we went in, found a place, we were there for the weekend or whatever, and I was telling somebody about it. He asked me, he said, what year is your chart?
And it was quite a bit older, probably 5-6 years maybe at that. And he says, you need to get, he pulled his chart out. I just bought this. Those buoys that I was following were no longer in existence. They had removed them. The Coast Guard removed them. There were some buoys, those ones that I'd seen, they were fixed though. They didn't move them. There were structures. These other buoys, they can, there's a weight that goes down, they can pull them up and they can move them. But these buoys were fixed. I was following the wrong ones. Are we fixed? You got your heart fixed on Jesus Christ? That's our main lighthouse. Our main lighthouse is Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes fixed on Him, and by the grace of God, we'll make heaven our home. May the Lord bless you as we have this song.
It's page 147.
My soul, my soul. First place in my heart.